This great Claire's, Matt and Kimber catch-up is for Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Now, Dean Claire's, Matt and I are still not over the fact you said you're leaving us this year.
Right.
You've got another week and a half left.
Yes, next Friday,
right,
apparently.
And just in case you don't know this,
yeah,
Dean Claire's announced last week that he is leaving our show on Friday the 11th after, what, 20 years with Mix?
Yeah, it was January 2000, just after the Olympic Games.
Incredible. What a jerk.
Incredible. Thanks a lot.
Did you say what a creep?
What a jerk.
Oh, what a jerk. I was a loser yesterday. Today I'm a jerk.
I'm having some mixed emotions,
okay?
You're just going to have to go with me on this journey. But we want to celebrate you, Claire. We want to play the favourite bits that we've had over the years, and there are many.
Too many.
So we're just going to, over the next couple of weeks, rehash some of the works you've done.
Can I just put in, like, I know you guys, like, there's a lot of love around, right?
Yes.
Can I just ask that we don't play any of me singing at our rock star events? Because I really feel sick when I hear that.
That's excellent. I'd forgotten about those.
Yeah,
we'll pull those out.
Yeah, I think you and I both know that's going to happen.
We'll pull those out now.
Listen, I've got to tell you that I work with two singers, and to hear that back when I was, because I'm a non-singer, was so disturbing. I felt ill.
But it gives other people the confidence to get up. Knowing
that
they can't possibly sound that bad.
Doesn't.
You've done brilliant things, and we want to celebrate those. One of the things was we had Book Week this year. And for
children's
Book Week,
author, better than J.K. Rowling.
We all sort of took some time to write a children's book. Yeah, and Claire, yours was excellent.
Yeah.
I believe it was Leroy, the dog with the stinky bum.
Yeah, that was the one. Are we playing that?
Yeah.
It's great.
There once was a dog named Leroy. There was only one problem. Leroy was known around town as the dog with the stinky bottom. At the park, Florence the Dalmatian was disgusted at the stench.
Your butt smells like rotten cheese mixed with poo.
But Gruff the Pomeranian threw up at the smell.
Oh, Leroy, I'm sorry, but your bottom smells like rotten cheese mixed with poo.
Leroy didn't know what to do. But at home one day, Scratchy the evil cat had an idea. I think your problem is that you eat everything. In fact, you're a garbage guts, Leroy. That's the problem, Leroy, Scratchy said. Why don't you stop eating human food? Leroy let out a huge squelchy fart. Okay, Scratchy, I'll try that. A few days later at the park, McGruff and Florence ran up and took a big sniff.
Good news, Leroy! Your bottom smells like...
Well, it smells like a dog.
Leroy was so happy he wagged his tail so much. The end. Oh, by the way, Leroy and Scratchy are now best of friends.
Aww.
Wasn't that gorgeous?
It was a happy ending.
See, Claire, the way you write is part of the man that you are and part of the wonderful delivery you've done on air, and that is why we simply couldn't go past playing your rap.
It's
excellent. Eminem was coming to town. We were going to go see Eminem, and you were so excited about it that you wrote a rap.
I don't think my timing was so flash, was it?
Hit it.
All right. Check it. Finally, after all these years, we hear the cheers. He touched down in our hometown. On a private plane, we know his plight, we hear his fight. Marshall's in Perth, best flow on earth. The people, they come to see the one. Jack Daniels cans before seeing Stan. He's the man, Slim Shady, on the mic. Kimber, she's sitting next to me, I see her glee. The mosh pit is bouncing like McNatt Nui. Think her whole city's come to the show. Some of their kids, the teacher don't know. From the back up there, they look like ants. I see Cameron Bancroft. He's got no sandpaper pants.
Yeah.
Kill you. Toy soldiers, the pits start to flow. That voice, Sky Grayler, she's got a sweet cameo. I've lost track of Kimber, but, oh, where is she? Oh, no, our girl, she's stage diving for all to see. And now she's in the crowd surfing. This could end messily. Hands on her hair, her long legs, her torso and back. I can't wait for Kimber's next crack.
Oh,
there was a segment called Kimber Had a Crack.
The whole time we were playing that, Claire was just shaking his head.
No, I think, you know, there are kids currently growing up in really tough urban environments and people don't speak for them.
Yeah, you're right.
And you are the people's, the street poet.
You meant to be making me feel better right here.
Out of Greenwood.
Two kids are in their early 20s now who are a bit ashamed by that one, but sorry, Sam and Maddie.
37 years of career and you're probably not known for your rapping.
That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Can we bring Captain Paul back? Because at least mine was a little bit better than this.
Balga baby.
Actually, no, his was better. Thanks, guys. Yeah, nice work. It's been a rotten year for everybody. And after a tough year, all we want for Christmas, guys, of course, is something, maybe a little bit of Mariah would be nice. And, of course, anything the marketers and advertisers can convince us that we need.
Okay.
Christmas is going to make up for a bad year.
Yeah, talk about it on Gruen tonight, 8:30 p.m. on ABC TV. Will Anderson, welcome, mate.
Oh, good morning. Yes, we are talking about Christmas. We're talking about Santa and how he's used in advertising, or how Curtis Stone is used in advertising, because it turns out he's the Christmas ho-ho-ho when it comes to advertising around this country, because not only is he the face of Coles in Australia, but about three American supermarket chains as well doing exactly the same thing. So good old Curtis. He's managed to make more out of Christmas than even Father Christmas himself.
What a guy.
Mummy, why is Curtis Stone coming down our chimney?
Because Oprah loves him.
I mean, Gruen is pretty much the Grinch. That is our resting Grinch face, right? We are the people who always looks at the consumerism around this and, like, tries to spoil everything for everyone. And we're going to do plenty of that on tonight's show because, of course, so much of what we consider to be very Christmassy was created by marketers and advertisers. The way that Santa Claus looks, Coke didn't invent Santa, but Coca-Cola invented the way that Santa looks.
The way
that we see him with the big white beard and the red and the black, the colors of Coca-Cola, that is all a marketing creation. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a marketing creation. So many of these things that we think are iconically Christmas are all things that came out of advertising and marketing.
Yeah, it's incredible. I was 25 before I even knew that reindeer were a real animal. Like, no kidding. I just saw them at a zoo in Canada and went, are you joking? Like, these, I thought they were always just Santas and that, nothing else. But, you know, you say that Gruen poo-poos the ideas of these things, but, you know, what I do is I love that you bring it to light. But I looked at the Black Friday sales, for example, and they seemed like awesome deals, but were we all getting hoodwinked?
Well, so Black Friday is such an interesting thing because it's obviously an American creation. In Australia, we think of Black Friday as being around bushfires. But what has happened is it's been adopted, much like many American traditions in Australia. But this one out of necessity in a certain way, because Australian retail companies didn't do Black Friday. It's an American thing. But of course, online companies like Amazon and your big retailers online were doing them in America. And it meant that Australians had access to those sales. We're a week before Christmas. We would normally have those sales on Boxing Day. We all remember those iconic images of, you know, grandmothers bashing each other for a pair of $3 tights at Meijer. That is traditionally, you're either watching the cricket or you're watching two people fight over a washing machine on Boxing Day. That's what we do in Australia.
Yeah.
But now, a month before Christmas, we now have these Black Friday discount sales as well. So we wanted to look at, is this the start of the Christmas shopping? What is Black Friday in our shopping environment?
Oh, it does my head in. I mean, I always feel like I'm turning into the old man that I don't want to turn into, and I've had that with Halloween, yet another Americanism. But Black Friday is one that I don't think I will ever come to terms with.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Go on.
You absolutely will. About 2 years from now, you'll think it's the most natural thing that has ever happened. You won't remember a time there wasn't Black Friday sales.
No.
Can you believe the price shopping on this washing machine?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And you won't be that person going, it's not the 13th. What's going on?
Stop Black Friday? Stop it. Leave me alone.
Actually, Will, we have seen that. You know that reaction you talk about? We've seen people fighting over things. It was bizarre at the start of COVID to see people fighting over toilet paper. Yeah. We're used to seeing that at sale time.
Exactly. It's Boxing Day every day during COVID. Yeah. That's what we like.
Let's stock up.
I hope Christmas is that easy. If you're all still satisfied with toilet rolls for Christmas presents, then roll it on. We're happy.
Well, here's the thing. Meijer are advertising their sale as it being bigger than Christmas because their advertisement rolls in all the celebrations that we've missed this year. Let's celebrate them all at Christmas. And we know historically it's always been good for individuals or companies to say they're bigger than Jesus. So I'm sure this is going to go really well for Meijer.
Well, we've just heard got an update, mate, on the new source that Curtis Stone is delivering your groceries this year, thanks to Coles.
Well, that'd be great if they can fit him into the 2 weeks of the year they actually employ him for, where he makes 400 ads in 2 years and he makes his house in LA look like it's in the eastern suburbs of Sydney or something. And
Curtis,
they shoot it from the right angle so they don't know he's in America.
We'll need to put you in another shirt, Curtis, so it looks like a different time of the year.
We'll hide the smog.
Todd Sampson was telling us that when they had Jamie Oliver for Woolies, they actually built at Jamie Oliver's ranch. They built a studio that looked like Australia so that whenever he needed to go and do an advertisement that was for Australia, he'd just pop out to the part of his ranch that was styled as Australia and do these ads for them.
Or like get Scotty Cam to do a quick reno.
Yeah.
Jamie, that looks bloody choice, mate.
Well, during the time of COVID, I think a lot of us realised the importance of family and connection
Very much so.
Those loved ones who are all over the world. And we've been so fortunate in the past to have easy travel and Skype and FaceTime and all of these things. But now that the borders are down, it's really great to see people reconnecting.
Well, I mean, not that it's as big a thing as a lot of people have been through, but you remember my wedding that was, believe it or not, and we had people that were possibly coming from England and certainly from the East Coast, and those plans changed.
People but, in their lounge rooms, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
And
yeah.
as Karis, who we spoke to earlier, she's been stuck in Melbourne and been unwell and got a little two-year-old and the rest of it, husband going away for work on and off, you know, the physical touch, you can't replace it when you're online. You can see your family. God knows I've tried. Yeah, you can give it a crack.
You can put a price on it now with the costs of the flights. Debbie in Langford, how has the borders coming down affected you? You've been separated from your partner.
Yes, we've done a long distance for 8.5 years. He's from Victoria. Mm. We got engaged in March this year, and that was the last time we got to see each other. Oh. He had to move to South Australia at the end of October for work. We thought, great, the borders were opened. Mm-hmm. The next day they shut him to South Australia.
Oh, that's terrible.
We're hoping to get to see each other before our first anniversary of being engaged.
Oh, Debbie, that's been tough, right?
It has been mighty, mighty tough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been very tough. So,
and have you looked at buying flights, or has he looked at buying some flights? Are they out of reach?
Well, yeah, but the thing is, he's got to be here for 2 weeks.
Yes.
If he comes and isolate, he doesn't get that time off.
No.
Yeah.
So, also, and I'm a carer for my mum who's COPD, so she can't be near anybody who's sus.
Right.
So it is really, you know, everyone's going on about this isolation. That's how we live our life every day, Mum and I.
Yeah, it's a long time. And you know, I guess we've got to wait for 28 days of no community transmission for South Australia before your situation might change. So possibly not before Christmas, Debbie.
Hopefully, but to everybody else, I just wish you all the best and have the biggest hugs when you get to see each other. It'll be fantastic for everybody.
And to get to see him in multi dimensions, not just just the screen, you know, to actually see someone and see all of them.
That touch, you know, to be able to see them is one thing, but that touch, nothing can replace that.
No.
Yeah. Well, all the best, Debbie. Hope it happens for you soon.
No worries. And Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you too, Debbie.
Yeah. 8 years long distance. My God, that's a big ask in the first place.
I mean, in the start of COVID, I mean, it's horrible, but it still would have been, it would have been helpful to be in that position because you're used to that having some distance.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
As time goes on, you don't see your partner, especially when you're married. It starts getting harder. Month after month.
Mm. Yeah. Let's go to Dianella. Imelda, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. How are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, we're good. Look, my daughter's getting married New Year's Eve, and it's been tumultuous year in the regards, do we go ahead, do we not?
Mm. And is that happening in Perth, Imelda?
It is. Okay. Yeah. So my beautiful sister's in Victoria and we just wanted her there. And yesterday we got the good news.
Yeah.
So she's booked her ticket, her daughter's coming, all the husbands and the kids. Oh, it's just going to be amazing.
Oh, and how's that crowdfunding gone to get that to happen, Imelda? My God, I mean, it must be costing thousands.
I know, but you know what? Family's family.
Yeah, worth every cent.
You know, it's such a joyous occasion, and we just want to bring in the new year with some excitement because, you know, you don't know with life what's going to happen next.
You don't.
You know.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's just so exciting.
And I'll tell you, Imelda, you know, as wonderful as my wedding was that we Zoomed, I really did miss the to see those dear friends that I consider family that were all on the East Coast. It was a loss that we had to deal with.
Yeah, and you know, it's a decision you have to make at the time.
Yeah.
You do the best you can, but I get that, you know. Just having them there, it's just changed.
Hey, Melda, as you speak, I've got my fingers crossed for you because everyone who, and we've got family coming back from Victoria for Christmas, that there's no numbers in New South Wales or Victoria.
Yeah.
So we don't want those borders shut down. So we're all slightly on tenterhooks, but good luck and you really enjoy it.
Yeah, and all the best with your retirement, Claire.
Hey, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a merry one.
Thanks, Imelda.
See you later.
I suppose we look forward now to all the airlines doing their TV ads that are just pictures of people reconnecting. You can't put a price on family.
$7,000
to Perth.
Speaking of family, joining our family, of course, is our producer, Kelly. Kelly, what's going on? What's your story with this one?
Well, I opted to host Christmas this year knowing that no family could come because of the borders. And now the borders have opened and now I suddenly have 15 people that I have to cook for.
Oh, no.
You can't complain.
I mean, can't I? It's my in-laws.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah.
That's rubbish.
Yeah.
I would not want to cook for 15 people either.
Yeah, start whinging. Especially if they get fussy with the food. That won't be good.
Yeah, stick them in the bin.
Hey, how's that?
Some frozen 4 and 20 pies and book yourself into the Flag Inn while they're there.
Yeah, I think that's it. That'll be the plan.
Every morning I get up too early. It makes me surly getting up that early. Matt's World.
Well, I wasn't allowed to be surly yesterday because yesterday, of course, was December the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one job yesterday when I got home from work, and that was to locate, de-spider, and prepare the Christmas decorations.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
One mission.
Everywhere you go.
Now, you guys have been to my place. We have we rent a very small townhouse. And
Where do you put your tree?
Oh, my God.
It's a pretty full house.
Oh, the three of us, the dog, the cat. I mean, we need Marie Kondo more than ever before.
Actually, does the tree go in that spot on the stairs there?
Oh, no.
Can you walk around it?
No, that's
where they store the bookcases.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's where I stored Matt's doomsday preparation for COVID-19.
Oh, no. That's a lot of baked beans, mate.
There's still some random pasta in there from my buying up in March for all that stuff.
Yeah.
No, I did finally find the Christmas. I mean, the garage is a mess.
Right.
Yep. It does fit two vehicles in there, but they're tight squeeze.
Okay.
But I found the tree, and of course I had to unwrap the tree outside to make sure there were no wildlife in there.
Yeah, no cockroaches.
Gave it a bit of a shake. Doesn't seem to be any, you know, any huntsmen in there. But we got that there, and the baubles and all the weird stuff. And of course, Turbo the cat.
Mm.
This is not his first rodeo.
No.
Right? He's been around. So he just sat there kind of casually clawing an elven's eye. You know?
Yeah.
But Florence, even though it's her second Christmas, she was spinning out.
Right, okay.
I bet she
at
was.
All this stuff.
She wants a bit of it.
Oh, she'd knock it down, wouldn't she?
Oh, the tree and all of the tinsel. I mean, I had to stop her eating nearly everything, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But we got this, like a Father Christmas kind of thing, which makes noise, but it's clearly dying.
Oh, right.
Oh. Right. And I was probably being a bit cruel because I kept playing it and she was like freaking out.
I bet she was.
Running in circles.
Looking
for batteries. She should have done.
Isn't that the fun of putting up the tree?
Yeah.
Did you
put anything up yesterday?
I haven't yet. I've got to do it today. Mm. But I look forward to, it's gotten a bit sad because years ago, my gorgeous nieces made me some Christmas decorations.
Right.
Lots of people would have them. It's when they make them out of damper. You know, they make them out of that really hard bread type stuff and then they paint them and they write their names on them. They put a ribbon in it and you hang it on the tree.
Yeah, you don't need it.
But over time, that damper breaks down to like next to nothing.
Ew.
So now they're these really crabby looking, like gross old biscuits that look like I'm hanging on my tree every year. But they're sentimental.
A little bit powdery.
Yeah, because they came from when they were little kids and I don't want to get rid of them.
No.
But they look gross now.
Kimbo, I'm surprised. You're a handy person. I thought you would have varnished those by now.
I should have.
You put a bit of lacquer on there.
I should have to save them because they're very sweet, but now they look awful.
Have you started doing your decks?
I don't do much, but Laurie has already got the tree up, which is a fairly modern kind of tree, so there's not a lot of tinsel or anything on it.
Okay.
But the one decoration I did add yesterday was, you know how you guys, we joined each other for lunch at Epicurean at the Crown, and there was a little invite that came out, and Kimber gave me the invite card with our smiling mugs on. So when Laurie got home, by surprise yesterday, it took her about an hour and a half to recognise that we were smiling at her from our tree, the three of us.
Have we taken pride of place where the angel would normally
sit? No, I don't think she sees us as angels somehow, but we're about mid-range.
She hates that our eyes follow her as she moves around the house.
But I got to say, you know, looking around the house, there was so much laughter and smiles as we got stuff and, you know, uncluttered things. And I did really get the warm and fuzzies.
Oh, you mushy.
Yeah, I really did. I got the even as I tried to stop Florence ingesting a bauble, I thought, no, this is lovely. Christmas, it is about families and just that little delightful job that we had yesterday of setting it up. It was really cool.
Good job.
Yeah.
Glad no spiders were killed in the process of setting up your tree, mate.
I wouldn't be so sure.
That great Claire's Matt and Kimber catch-up was for Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.